Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Corey Kent, welcome back to Absolute Radio Country.
Thank you.
Your last album was the live one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Came out at the end of the year, was that right?
End of the year. Right in between Christmas and New Year's. I think our fans can kind of count on that from us. You know, we've been doing that since 2021. You know, the rate that music is released these days, like, people don't want to wait a couple years for the next record, right?
No.
So now artists are churning them out about every year.
Yeah.
I was just laughing because I heard Luke Bryan's about to release his 8th studio album. And I'm like, man, I envy that pace. Like, that's a sustainable pace, right? Like, I'm looking at my, you know, discography, right? And I'm like, man, I've put out pretty much a record a year since 2019.
Yeah.
It's just like, bam, bam, bam.
So this one is called 24 Live, and it's recordings from all the live shows, right?
It's a recording from 2 nights sold out at Kane's Ballroom in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we knew that it was going to be magical. It was my birthday.
Is that why you did it?
Essentially a hometown show.
You're like, I'm going to have a birthday show.
That's why I booked the shows in my hometown, so
right.
I could go home and see my family.
Nice.
And then the first one sold out so quick that we were like, let's add a second one. And then the second one sold out. We were like, well, shoot, we never get to play 2 nights anywhere, right? Like, that's a pretty easy gig, right? You set up once, you play 2 shows, and then you tear down once. And we're like, well, this gives us a couple stabs at doing a live record because we can play every song twice. And I was really big on if we're going to do a live record, I wanted it to really be live, because, like, these days you get live records and they are taking the crowd from another moment and imposing it into a new moment to make it seem like the crowd went crazy after the song. And then there's a bunch of overdubs. Overdubs is when you go back into the studio because somebody messed up the guitar part and you're going to play it better, or the singer's going to go re-sing a line. And I was like, no, if we do a live record, it needs to be like the live records that I heard from the Stones, the Eagles. Like, we're not going back in and fixing stuff. You live with the mistakes you made, and that's a live record, right?
Like, yeah.
So I knew that we had a really good chance at doing it well. We had 2 stabs at it. So it's a culmination of, like, song 1 might be from night 1 and song 2 might be from night 2. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It just goes down the list of whatever the best take was. But it ended up being really magical, and I'm really proud of our guys. Like, we didn't hire some big fancy production team to come in and record it. We didn't hire some fancy film crew. Everything was in-house. Like, our media guy filmed it, and he hired out, you know, some second shooters, and our front of house guy recorded the whole thing, and our band played everything, and there was no overdubs. It's a truly raw live record, and it was a fun project. It was a nice challenge, you know, to just see if we really could do it at the highest level, and I feel like we did.
This is your 3rd time playing in the UK, is that right?
Yep.
So the last time you were here, you were opening for Ashley McBride, I think, right?
Yeah.
And you were talking in the last time we saw each other about how you just really wanted to come back and do your own headline show.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, here you are.
Here we are.
How's it feel?
It's been awesome.
Yeah.
I think, like, I don't know how many shows we've played so far, but
a bunch.
I think we're at show 7 or 8. And like 6 of them have sold out. So a really awesome response from the fans here, playing in much bigger rooms than I thought we would on our first headline tour. I mean, you know, we're selling out 1,000 cap rooms all over. And what's crazy about that is, like, when we were getting started in Texas just a few years ago, when we go to a place for the first time, it was like, I'm buying beers for the boys if we sell 75 tickets the first time in town. And I'm not kidding you. That was our number. It's like, it's a fail if it's less than, and it's a huge success if it's more than. And to come over here and move this many tickets and to see fans, you know, I will say that the first couple times over here, the fans were very engaged, but they were listening engaged. It was very quiet, respectful, hanging on every word. This time at our shows, they've been screaming the words.
Screaming every
word.
And
it's been amazing, dude. I mean, I also love that here, it's the hits aren't driven just by country radio in the U.S. Country radio in the U.S. kind of informs which songs are going to be the hit songs, the moments at the concert. Here, we could never tell what crowd was going to connect deeply with what song and which one they were going to sing loudest. So it's been really cool to see, like, we have a song called Something's Gonna Kill Me that was a not top 40 at country radio.
We played it a lot here.
And it's, well, that's probably why, to be honest.
But I
mean,
think
they are screaming that song louder than our double platinum hit. You know what I mean?
It's we played crazy. It a lot. I think that also it's, I mean, you're right. People dig in all sorts of ways as well. But I also think radio here isn't tied to that same model. Like, we play all kinds of things. You know, like, you release a new song and we will spotlight it. At least for a week to see how it goes. So it's
awesome.
We don't wait, you know, for it to become a massive hit. We hopefully help make it a massive hit by playing different stuff. Because I think that if you are a country fan, you want to hear everything.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at least be exposed. I feel like that's the job of country radio, is to expose you to music that you didn't know was there.
Right? Yeah, I think
so too. Because we can all go back to the records we love and know.
Like, yeah.
It's nice to be exposed to the new stuff. That's really cool. And we also noticed that, like, you know, this record that we put out is called Black Bandana. That's the one that we're touring on. And it's the Black Bandana tour. And in the States, it's been well received. It's more the message behind the song that has been well received in the States. And here, it was really cool to see there's a bunch of people out in the crowd wearing the Black Bandana. And this is their anthem, you know? They're fist up in the air singing this song.
And tell us the meaning of Black Bandana for people
who don't know. So, yeah, basically, as I've looked back on my whole journey, I feel like the hand that I was dealt in life is just, I've had to work twice as hard to get half as far.
Mm.
And that's just how it's been. And, you know, you come to a point, if that's the hand you're dealt, you come to a point where you either make peace with that or you feel sorry for yourself. And if you make peace with it, you got to figure out a way to win anyways, right? And so that's where it started, really just accepting, you know, that maybe I'm not the most talented, but I can outwork the most talented. So let's get to work. And I look back now, and we wrote this song because, really, as simple as one of my buddies that I was writing at our ranch in Texas with was like, you always have this black bandana on you. You should write a song called Black Bandana. I was like, cool. And like a very normal writer trick is to write opposites, right? Like, just to flip the whole idea on its head and go, what's the opposite of this? I asked that question. You could see everybody, there was four of us writing this song, and you could see everybody's light bulb go off at the same time. They're like, oh, white flag. Like, giving up is the exact opposite of being a black bandana. And so, you know, the whole, you know, mini speech that I give at these shows is, if the odds are one in a million, you believe you could be the one. And that's really what this is. It's when everybody else quits, you keep going. You know, when the going gets tough, you're the one that hangs in until you get where you want to go. And that's been my story. I mean, you know that a couple years ago, I was working at a pavement company below the poverty line, trying to provide for my wife and my three kids. And music didn't look like it was even remotely an option. And here we are on the other side of the world singing double platinum hit country songs.
Yeah.
You know, it just... the only way that happens is if you hang in long enough and don't give up when it gets tough.
Congratulations on that, because I think it's still, you're still, well, maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like you're still fresh enough into it that it might not quite seem real.
Oh, definitely fresh into it. Yeah.
I
still
feel
like the baby country act that like nobody sees coming.
Yeah.
Do you
still have a feel, and I ask this question because it seems like no matter who I talk to and no matter where they are in their level of their career, there's still always just a little, which is what keeps a lot of people going, a little bit of a fear that it could all go away.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we had Darius Rucker in here the other day, and he was talking about he still worries about being poor. I had Dolly Parton, and she worries about being poor.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy because
Dolly Parton.
I was like, your face is literally on money in Dollywood. But I think that it
that's crazy.
I think that, though, that's just a human thing, isn't it? Like, if you come from somewhere where you don't have a lot, whether that is financially or whether you don't feel like you have a lot of career options for you, when you do get to somewhere that even though you believed in yourself, that's kind of so much bigger than where you were.
Yeah.
It's easy to think like, oh my God, what happens if?
Well, you remember so vividly when nobody cared.
Yeah.
I think that's the crazy. It's like, if I had to guess, what Darius is probably saying is like, I remember when I wasn't relevant at all, when nobody cared about the art that I was making. And I do think that as an artist, like that's probably your deepest fear is becoming irrelevant again.
That and having to fly economy again.
I still fly economy, so I wouldn't know, man. I wouldn't know that life. But it's a terrifying thing, you know, and you can't think about it too much because then you probably end up attracting that, you know, but
yeah, no, I mean, I didn't bring it up to kind of make you think like, I think I brought it up because I always think it's so important for people, no matter what they're doing, you know, your fans, people listening, people in any kind of thing, to know that there's loads of people that they look up to, or there's loads of people that they look at and think like, if only my life was like that, all my troubles would be gone. And I think it's always important for everybody to remember that, you know, everybody's dealing with the same thing in a lot of ways. Everybody has these feelings and everybody has these worries. And I think it makes everybody else's just a little bit lighter when they know that, oh, it's not about that. It's about something else.
And you know, don't get me wrong. I can't stand it when people who clearly have been blessed and have amazing lives are complaining about the life that they have or how hard it is. Like, everybody's life's hard, right? Like, that's just part of it. But I wrote this line recently with some buddies that, like, I think about it often now. Greener grass is overrated. I wouldn't trade it because it wouldn't be mine. And it's like, everybody's got this greener grass mentality that, like, if I could just get here.
Always, yeah.
If I could just get here, or if my life looked like that person.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, everybody's got their stuff. Like, and the further up I climb in the country world, the more anxious I am about the next release. Like, sure. I used to make music with completely, like, no inhibitions at all. I didn't care what anybody thought. Now I'm like, well, is it going to measure up to the last one? And that's not a way to live. Like, it's just, I don't know. I found a lot more joy in focusing on what I do have and focusing on what I have been able to do than focusing on what I might not ever get to or what I might not ever have. It's like, that's a miserable way to live, but it is very real. It is a like super, it's always there. It's always in the back of your mind of like, if I could just get to that next level.
Yeah.
But it's.
And then you have to work even harder.
Yeah. And then you drive yourself crazy if you never get there. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just have way more peace if I wake up and I'm just like, man, a couple of years ago, I was playing at a Mexican restaurant for free tacos. Like,
I mean,
this is amazing.
It doesn't sound bad, to be honest. Well, I love
the tacos.
Love
were good, man. Urbano, Louisville, Texas, man. That place has some good tacos.
Hey, just before I let you go, how's the family? Did they come over with you this time?
It didn't. No, I tried to talk my wife into it. So she came over with me the last half of the last trip. So I started in London and then made my way to Dublin, and she caught me halfway, and we went to Scotland and Ireland. So I still got to get her over here. But, you know, my kids are 6, 4, and 2, just turned 3. So they would be eating the edge of your table. You know, it'd be crazy here if my kids came. But I am looking forward to bringing them over here. I've loved the experience of just getting outside of the U.S. and seeing different ways of life, and I think that's really valuable for them. But everybody's doing good. My girls are like, I mean, you know, you fall in love in a whole new way when you have little girls. It's just it's magic. And then my son is exactly what you would expect my son to be. Like, 2 years old, broke his arm on a dirt bike, like crazy man, like probably going to military school, like that type. But he's awesome, and everybody's happy and healthy. And
and small town life is still treating you well, because the last time we talked, you decided to kind of relocate back to a relatively small place, right?
Yeah. We just keep going further north. So, like, we started kind of in the outskirts of Dallas, and we just kept moving further north. And I'm working my way back to Oklahoma, where I'm from.
Okay.
But it's really hard to get a woman that was born in Texas to move to Oklahoma.
Right.
They look down on Oklahoma. I don't know why. It's just how it is. But we're inching our way that way. Yeah, we live in this place called Salina, Texas, and it's awesome, quaint little town. But it did just get named the fastest growing city in America.
Uh-oh, so you got to get out.
So we're probably going to have to go further north, maybe yeah. to Oklahoma.
Thank you.
But I love it. You know, my kids can ride dirt bikes in the backyard and they spend break all day outside and break their arms and run into fences. It's great.
You're going to come see us again real soon, right? Because it seems like you're doing this right. You're in the way that you don't keep people waiting for a new record. You don't keep us waiting for, you know, because there are plenty of artists and listen, this is fine. People are busy. I get it.
Yeah.
But they'll come and see us once and then like 3 years later, they'll pop back and everybody's like, well, all right. But what we really love and what you will have seen already on this tour is that every time you come, the crowd grows.
Yeah,
everybody's so excited that, because everybody recognizes that it takes you time to come over here. It takes you money to come over here.
Yeah, it's expensive.
It's a commitment. And so there's an appreciation in that and we like to pay it back, you know? So are you going to come see us again soon?
Well, I've said this on every stop of the tour so far. I've been very open about like, listen, I could sell out every ticket on this entire tour and I'd still be losing money. This is an investment. Mm. But I said from a really early stage in my career, jokingly, but it was a real thing. It's like, well, we're losing money in the US to get this thing off the ground. Might as well go lose money in the UK and build a fan base there as well. And so that's what we've been doing, right? Is building a fan base and investing in the country music scene over here, because there are so many country fans that don't get the music that they deserve here. Mm-hmm. Like, because we're not making it a point to come over here.
Yeah.
And so it's been on my radar for a long time. And I'm so happy we've been able to do it. But from the stage every night, I've said, you know that it's an investment. And I know that you have invested your hard-earned money to be here. I'll make a deal with you. If you come back, we'll come back. And everybody goes crazy, right? And then I do this thing where my life is not, it probably shouldn't have worked out the way that it has, right? Like the only way that it works out this way is if you have a crazy dream and you keep going for it and you're the one crazy enough to not give up at it. And so in each of these towns, I've been like, what's the biggest venue in your town? And, you know, in some it's the O2 and it's mm-hmm. the, you know, and I'll get, you know, feedback from somebody in the crowd and I'll go, let's make a deal. Let's grow this thing all the way from here to the O2 or to the whatever the big venue is. And it seems just crazy enough that it might not work, but then again, it just might, you know? And I've seen Kip Moore, you know, build to tens of thousands of tickets. And I'm going, okay, this is totally, it is crazy. Don't get me wrong. And we're a long way from selling 10,000 tickets in the UK, but somebody's got to do it. You know?
Might as well be Corey Kent.
It might as well.
Let's do it. All right, we're on board with this. Corey Kent, it's always a pleasure to see you.
You too, man.
Thanks for coming to see us, and we'll see you again real soon.
Absolutely.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.